There are many of my children who have felt that I have abandoned them, that I have not answered their prayers. Many who have felt that I've not been there during the tough times. Many who have believed that my love is not what I have declared in my word. Many who have felt as though that I don't care, that I'm not interested. And too many of my children have blamed me for so many of their problems. But I would have you to know that I am not an abusive father. And you cannot hold me accountable for any abuse that you've experienced in your life. You cannot compare me to an earthly father who would abandon his children, beat his children, abuse his children. You cannot compare me to that. You cannot say, God's just like my earthly dad. You can't say that. Because you see, if you really knew me, you would know that you cannot say that. And that I do not compare. And the very fact that you say things like that is simply a demonstration of your ignorance of me. That you really don't know me. I love you, and I am your father, and I have been there through the tough times, and I have been there through the good times. But you've based your relationship on me, on how you feel, not on what I've said. Now, I would have you listen to me. If you cannot accept me as your father, then think of me as a covenant partner in a covenant that's been established by the blood of my own son. For you see, as your covenant partner, I'm there for you. But you don't understand this. You don't understand that it is my desire to touch your life, to minister to you, to change your circumstances. You don't understand this. And by accusing me of not being there for you and accusing me of not being there to answer your prayers, not being there to heal, not being there to protect you, protect your children. By accusing me of not being there, what you're accusing me of is violating the blood of my own son. And again, this goes back to the fact that you don't know me. You don't understand me. You have based your total comprehension of me on what people have told you. I say, go to my word. I say, take all those things that people have said about me, which are lies, and get rid of them. Purge them from your life. Go to my word and find out what I have said. Stop blaming me for your problems and start looking to me for the solution. I'm not the source of your problem. I'm not the source of your conflict. I'm not the source of the struggles. If you would truly seek me with all your heart, I could reveal these things to you, but I could also impart my wisdom to you so that you would understand how to operate in this life and you would see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Stop putting your faith and your trust in man and put it totally in me. Man's religion has completely fouled up my relationship with my children. Because too many people who really don't know me have been exalted to positions to teach about me when they don't know what they teach. They don't know what they say. So listen closely to me this morning. I am your God. I am your Father. I am your covenant partner. I am your life. I am your strength. I am your everything. Stop looking to man to explain and define me to you. And start looking to my word to understand who I am to you and what I can be to you and how I can minister to your life. Your answers lie in my presence. I am already there waiting for you, says the Lord. Pain is a description of where you have been. It is not where I have led you. Stop holding on to a word. Turn loose of that which is nothing more than a description. and look around you to the place where I have brought you. For in my presence, there is no pain. As you have heard in these messages today, I am truly a friend to you. But there are too many of my children who do not see me as their friend. But I would have you know, I can only be a friend to you to the degree that you allow me. And there are many of you who have been trained to see me as your taskmaster, one who drives you and drives you relentlessly. But that is not me. For you see, a friend seeks to relieve pain and to relieve burden. Didn't my son say that his yoke was easy and light? I'll tell you what he meant by that. It's because when you take up the yoke that he presents, he is there helping you carry it. And the anointing that flows from him changes it from a burden to a joy. But as long as you do not see me as your friend, you will try to carry burdens that I have never instructed you to carry. There are those in ministry, even pastoring churches, who are not pastoring with me as a friend, but they are pastoring for me as a beast of burden. If those that I have called as my evangelists, my pastors, my prophets, my apostles, my teachers, if they would learn to allow me to fulfill that ministry with them as a friend, they would not suffer burnout. There are those in this room this night who have served me by trying to carry the load, by trying to do it all, and they have not allowed me to work with them side by side as their friend. To you, I am your perfect friend. I am your complete friend. I am your everything friend. You have never had a friend which knew your beginning before you had a beginning. And you have never had a friend who knows your future before you step into it. But I am that friend. And this is why walking with me enables me to release an anointing that will turn the burden into a joy. It will be lifted. Serve me my way and know my friendship. Serve me man's way and know man's burdens. Do not allow man to define for you what it means to serve me. Allow me to define for you, through my word, what it means to serve me in friendship. A friend knows a friend. And those who have told you that you can never know what God does, they have said that because they do not know me as a friend. There is more that I will say to you, and there are many things that I will say to you as a friend speaks with a friend, and this will be done in private. Friends don't always want to communicate publicly. There are times they like to be alone, together, experiencing the joy of their friendship as just the two of them sit and talk. In times like this, I am going to share more with you. But I will share with you from the perspective of our friendship, not from the perspective of my friendship with someone else. It will be personal, just you and me. So come to me and spend time with me. And know more deeply these things that you've heard about. And let me take you by the hand and lead you, walk beside you, and together as friends, walk deeper into glory. You entered this place tonight and you looked and you wondered, why are there not more people here? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight what some of you have never heard. There are more preachers, those who travel as itinerant, what you call evangelists, and those who pastor, than I have called. In fact, there are thousands more out there who are standing behind pulpits delivering my word, and I've never called them to do that. There is great confusion in my body because of this. There are some of you in this place, even this night, you have submitted to pastors that I've never called to pastor. Many people, pastors and the itinerants who travel, they have built their ministries on personality. They've built their ministry on their ability to present themselves publicly. And they've built their ministry on some healings. And you see, the problem is that many of you, yes, I would even go as far as to say the majority of those in my body look at healings and say, that's the landmark of a ministry. But you've forgotten what I said in my word. Through my son, I gave a commission to my entire body, my church, my children. And I said that those who believe would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. This is for the entire body of Christ. And yet, you esteem a few healings as being the qualifier for someone to preach to you. Now hear me and hear me well. I say to you again, there are thousands who are out there standing behind pulpits, either pastoring or traveling and preaching. I have never called to do that. And again, there are some of you in this place tonight, you have submitted to pastors who are not called to pastor. Because of that, over the years when this has happened, your lives have been shipwrecked at times. Because you've submitted to a ministry that doesn't exist. And what I mean by that is, I never called them to that ministry. They created it for themselves. There are churches that are running hundreds and even thousands being pastored by people I never called to pastor. But the churches have been built on personality and style and not on content and truth. Now I'm going to tell you why there aren't more people in this place. I have very, very few that I can speak through like I've been able to through the servant who is here with you this week. You see, there are too many out there. Too many of my children. They just want to hear something that will capture their interest. In some cases, they want to be entertained. They want to see a show. In some cases, they want to go someplace where the preacher will just make them laugh. And they qualify that by quoting from my word and talking about how that laughter will do good like a medicine. And they justify sitting in services listening to people that I've never called to speak into their lives. This goes on all the time. You do not know what I have to put up with as your God. You see, the kind of teaching that you're hearing this week, it calls people to accountability. It's not entertaining teaching and preaching. It is substance teaching and preaching. I have very few that I can speak through like this. People don't like to hear it. We want signs. We want wonders. We want miracles. They want to walk on the water, but they don't want to know how to operate in the authority that can calm the waves. And because they don't want to receive the depth of what I am speaking this week, they don't show up. Hear me. I could bring people into this church and fill it, because I could direct those that I haven't called to come here and entertain. But I won't do that. Too many of my children are caught up in popularity and names, what they call the anointing. They're caught up in shout. They want excitement. They want to see people dance through the aisles. But when it comes to just sitting and listening to what I have to say, most of my church will not do that. Especially if it calls them to accountability. My work in the body is not to entertain. We will have eternity to fellowship. But there's too much work to be done. The TV stations that you turn into, the things that you watch, hear what I say to you. They're filled with preachers that I never called to stand behind the pulpits and do what they're doing. But you keep listening, and you keep listening, and worse yet, you keep sending them your money. You don't listen to me. You listen to what you feel. You look at what somebody is doing and you determine that they are doing a good work, but you never ask me about it. I'm glad when souls are saved. I'm glad when people come to accept my son Jesus Christ. But all of my children are called to lead people to my son. All of my children are called to share the gospel of salvation. So just because you know that a preacher is winning many people to Jesus, that alone does not qualify them for your offerings. Those who will receive what I am speaking this week and apply it to their lives, they're going to be changed. Because what you are hearing this week is teaching of my character. Too many want to talk about my power, but they don't want to talk about my character. They want to see demonstrations of my power, but they don't want to conform to my character. And when they hear what it's going to take to conform to my character, when they hear what my character will work through them and what is required, they become disinterested. And the reason is because their emotions, for the most part, are governing their spiritual walk with me. I will tell you this night, out of all of those who are citizens of my kingdom, living in the world this day, it is an extremely small percentage who truly are seeking me. A very small percentage. If you knew, you would be shocked. Even in this church, not everyone is seeking to follow me. But I want you to know that my arms are still open. I have not turned anyone away. And the reason that I say things like this is because I'm able to say things like this. There are too many people that they don't want to hear me speak through someone unless it's uplifting and encouraging, and unless they receive promises of blessings and great wealth. When they hear instructional words from me, too many of them dismiss it. That's not of God. But it is. I've said this many times and I say it again. You need to guard your heart and your mind concerning those you allow to speak into your life. You need to seek me, and you need to find out if you are exactly where I want you. For you see, I will only be able to use you to the level that you truly submit to me. And I will tell you something else this night. Something that you've never heard. If my children would truly listen to me with all their heart, I would empty out thousands of churches across this land. Do you hear me? I said I would empty them and take them to a place where they can truly be fed. This comes as a shock to many people, because many in my church, many of my children, they think just as long as someone is preaching what's in my word and preaching about Jesus and that people need to be born again, that that's okay. But it's not. It's good that they're preaching that people need to know my son Jesus. But you see, I want my children to be fed food that is not tainted. Now, there are those of you that need to go back and listen to messages that you've heard this week. Pay close attention to what you're going to hear the rest of this week and seek me on how you are to apply what you are hearing. I desire your best. And I want to move through you in a way that will transform this world. Please understand, if I can't move through you, I can't do anything. I was only able to make salvation available to mankind because I was able to move through my son Jesus. I was only able to give to you what you call the New Testament because I was able to move through those who would listen to me and write down what I gave them. I need you so much. Because through you, I can change this world. So please give heed to these things that I say and don't dismiss them. And I want to encourage you and tell you, your concern is not to be about the people who aren't here. Your concern is to be about what I am doing in you. So let me work my work in you and bring about the change that I desire. I will produce my character in and through you. My nature will grow strong on the inside of you. And you truly will become everything that I desire, says the Lord. Here's what I'm sensing. I don't have any real specific details. But what I'm seeing is that... I put it in these terms. Satan has lost a lot of ground in recent days. And that word days, don't interpret that to mean 24-hour periods. And what has happened is he has called in powers and principalities for a regrouping to lay out plans for a massive assault. Now, this is not something relative specific to this church. This is something in the world, something that's happening now in the world. That he's calling in his leadership, if you will, to lay out plans for a massive assault. Okay, part of it has to do with the fact that he has lost a great amount of his grip in the Middle East. And the gospel is penetrating into areas of the Middle East where it's never been preached. The plans that are being laid out have to do with an attack that's going to come from a different perspective. And there are two things that I'm hearing. A physical attack and a political attack. And part of that has to do with this nation. A big part of it. Yes. Okay. The Lord said, take note of what happened recently in Canada. How that there was a plot uncovered within the last 2 weeks of a planned attack against Canada. And that things were being put together to get bombs into Canada to do some terrorist attacks. The Lord said, that is to serve notice to you that attacks from a different perspective are being planned even right now. But it's going to happen in the political arena. Evidently, there are some politicians that we thought could be trusted who are going to turn. Because these plans include like a spirit of blindness to be placed over those who are susceptible. The Lord says that this thing can be stopped, but it's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some spiritual warfare. He says, I'm telling you this now because you're the only people who can prevent this from happening. And when he says the only people, he's talking about the body of Christ, not just the people who are in this church. He says, so you intercede and you pray over this. Because you have the ability to stop it. He says, let me remind you that Satan is not more powerful than you, but he has too many of my children convinced that he is. You are more powerful than he. Your destiny is based upon the power of my life in you. His destiny is based upon the power of the death in him. And life always conquers death. And he says, so take note of this and intercede and pray over this and you'll stop it before it even is fully launched. A spirit of evil has been released in this country. And what I'm seeing is like a almost like a very large demon dressed in black with this huge, large black cape it's like it's billowing out over the land. A spirit of evil has been released in this country because prayers of the saints have released an increase of glory in this country. And Satan is fighting it very hard. This spirit of evil is producing a blindness in the political system. Even those who are Christians, truly born again, who are in the political system, some of them are being blinded by this. It is an extremely subtle spirit of confusion. The Lord says, but if you will continue to pray, if my church will continue to pray, there will be an ever increasing amount of glory released beyond what has been released to this point. And it will be like a wave of glory that slams up against this spirit of evil and drives it back. I am releasing a spirit of wisdom in this nation. There are changes in technology that are coming about that are going to revolutionize ways of living. For even this moment, there are those in this country that are on the verge of uncovering a different type of energy system that's going to change this nation's dependency upon oil. But evil is working hard to keep this suppressed because Satan has been able to put a stranglehold on this country through the oil prices. You need to pray for the power of my wisdom to increase even more in this country. You see, when my church prays and my wisdom is released, I can release this wisdom even upon those who have not called upon my Son Jesus Christ, yet they have stored up within them the scientific knowledge that my wisdom can impact. Well, you see, if you study in the Old Testament, you will see that there were times where my wisdom was released upon pagan kings, and they ended up doing godly things. Well, I can still work that way today. And if you will continue to pray, and if you will continue to declare my wisdom released in this nation, there are changes that can take place. Now, there are many in my church who are going to point to a lot of these changes and say that it is the mark of the beast, that it is Satan that's bringing this about and putting things together for this one world system. But I want you to know that when the end comes, it isn't Satan that's brought about the technology, but he's motivating that one called the Antichrist, that one called the Beast, he's motivating them to use the technology that will be developed. You see, if you study your history, your world history, you will find that I have been able to move in nations that have called upon my name. And in those nations that have allowed Christianity to exist, I have been able to bring about technological advances. If you will study your history, you will see this. This is why nations which have refused the gospel are still living in what some people called the third world. This is why some cultures have never advanced. This is why when this country was first discovered by those who had moved from England, they moved here with a technology that no one on this nation knew about. And the reason for that is because my gospel, my word, my truth did not exist in this nation. Nowhere on this land was it being taught, but everywhere that my word is allowed to flourish, my wisdom is released. And in this nation, there is a wave of my wisdom that I'm preparing to release. It has trickled out to this point. But if my church will continue to call upon me and continue to speak my wisdom into this land, my wisdom will increase. Did I not say in my word that in the last days knowledge would increase? You see, I want to work through my church to bring about a huge transfer of wealth into my kingdom to serve me for the spread of my gospel. And if you will open your eyes and pay very close attention to what is going on, you'll begin to see some of these changes taking place. In the very near future, there are going to be opportunities within the stock market for many of my children to invest small amounts but reap sums that are multiplied exponentially because of the increase. There are corporations that are going to be transferred into the hands of Christians. Great change is coming. It is going to be a testimony to this world. For did I not say that this world would be filled with the knowledge of my glory? Too many in my church have interpreted that to mean nothing more than great salvations and healings and miracles. But I want you to know, when my glory is released in its fullness, it impacts every aspect of your life. And I'm telling you this night, there is a rumbling. For I've said all that can be shaken is going to be shaken. You've seen many changes take place just within the last 10 years. But with my wisdom, change can accelerate in ways never known in human history. You are on the threshold of a divine greatness, heretofore unseen. Stay in my presence. Flow in this wisdom. Flow in this glory. Truly, as I have said, seek first my kingdom, and I will be able to add to your life what you cannot even begin to imagine or think. But it will all be for my kingdom's sake. So listen to these words and take them to heart, and pay close attention to what is coming up. I am moving on many of my children, moving them in directions that they've never moved in and walked in and operated in. I'm moving them in directions in areas of what you would call the workforce, the job place, companies and corporations. Things are changing because people are seeking me. And some of the people that are going to be stepping forth, they're going to feel almost like they're stepping out of the boat and onto the surface of the water. All they're going to know is they're being obedient to me. But you do have a scriptural example for this. And that is my servant Abraham. Did I not tell him, leave home and step out? And when you do, then I will show you where you're going. The same thing is true today. Keep that in mind. And to use that example, I have many Abrahams in the world that I am speaking to even now, telling them to step out. And when they step out and begin to follow me, they are going to walk a path into unbelievable wealth that is going to be used for the spread of my gospel and the expansion of my kingdom. You must develop a vision of yourself being used of me this way. For you see, there are too many who would hear these words and say, I wonder who that is. That could never be me because, well, I'm not smart enough. Because I've not gone to school. Because I haven't done this and I haven't done that. In other words, you exclude yourself from my will. Please capture my vision of you and see yourself walking in this wisdom and walking in this glory and playing a part in the fulfillment of what I have spoken in my word. These things are happening even now. So see with eyes of victory. See with eyes of glory. See with eyes that only have a vision of what I show you. And it will change your life forever, says the Lord. For too long, man has attempted to draw the glory to himself. And in most of the cases, man doesn't realize that he's doing this. But what I see from my seat in glory is that man has drawn attention to himself by building ministries on programs, on gimmicks, on promises that I will not fulfill. Man has built churches that he says are churches unto my glory, but in reality they're just nothing but buildings filled with people who are going through religious actions, and my glory is not there. And yet, my children continually look unto those kinds of edifices, those religious edifices, as though they mean something to me.
I only work within the structure of those kinds of churches and ministries according to whatever truth they allow me to use. But all too many of them have built their ministries and their churches upon their own truth and not upon what I say. And I say to my body, on this day, you have looked far too long at large churches and large ministries as being the places where I dwell. You have been fooled. For you see, my glory can fill a jail cell where only two people are sitting. My glory can fill an upper room with only 120 people. And yes, my glory can fill a church of thousands. But it's only when my Son Jesus Christ becomes the center of all that is said and all that is done that my glory can fill the place where they are. And I want you to know today, get your eyes off the things of man and get your eyes onto me and onto my truth. Quit playing religious games. Quit playing with religion that leads you nowhere. And get your feet planted upon the solid rock, the foundation of my truth and my Son Jesus Christ. For if you do this, you're going to come to the place of knowing me like you've never known me. If you do this, you're going to understand that a lot of the things you thought are strange and weird in churches are not strange and weird at all, but they are outpourings of my glory. For you have reasoned that certain things are strange because they don't happen in the religious circles that you're accustomed to. Have you ever considered the possibility that the religious circles you're accustomed to aren't blessing me? Have you ever considered that what they do is a form of my presence and not really my presence? Have you ever considered taking the time to get into my word to find out what it really is that I bless? Too many people have exalted ministers to be in the seat of my throne. Too many people have looked to man as being the source. But I say unto you, if you'll make a decision to lay aside the things of man and embrace the things of God, you're going to have an experience with me that surpasses anything you've ever known. I want you to know I am more real than you have ever experienced in your life. And I will make my reality known to you if you truly seek me with all your heart, says the Lord. There are many things about me that have been stripped away by religion over the centuries. Many things about me that have been buried. Many things about me that even the apostles did not deny. There are many things about me that have been taught that the apostles never taught. But because there are many throughout this world whose hearts have been stirred by a hunger that has been so rare throughout the centuries, I am able to pour into them those things for which they are hungry. And in these last days, there is a resurrection of truth, a resurrection of things about me that are being taught and that will be taught. Things that to the religious mind have seemed strange, will seem strange, and have been rejected. But I said those that hunger and thirst for me, they're going to receive, they're going to be filled, and out of what they are filled with, they'll pour forth. And only those with eyes to see and ears to hear are going to be able to receive the incredible amount of truth that is going to be released more and more in these last days. Religious minds are going to stay where they are. People whose lives and thinking have been completely dominated by their churches and their denominations are going to stay right where they are. I will receive them into my presence for eternity. But here during this life, they're going to stay right where they are. But the choice is yours. If you truly hunger and thirst, you will be filled. And you'll be able to receive from these things that I am going to be able to pour out. But again, the choice is yours. But I say to you, if you will receive, your lives will be changed. And what you're going to see are lives patterned after the lives of those who represented me, whose lives have been recorded in my book. And no longer will the things you read about be events of 2,000 years ago, but you will see them happen before your very eyes, and you will be a part of them taking place as the Spirit of grace. As you worship me, you create around yourself a buffer zone of peace. As your heart turns to me to truly worship me, problems you've been struggling with, cares of life, things that have caused you distress, the inner turmoil, the worship produces the peace, and the peace begins to push those things away. As I said, when you worship me, you are creating a buffer zone of peace. Anyone can worship me from their mind, but when you worship me from your heart, you will create this buffer zone of peace that will completely surround you. And as you're surrounded by this peace, the emotions must give in to the power of that peace. And you can subdue the confusing feelings of not knowing what to do. You can subdue the feelings of frustration, the feelings of defeat. You can completely subdue them as you worship me. Because you see, the more that you worship, the more this peace is created and released. The more this buffer zone is constructed. And the more you worship, the larger it becomes. And I would have you know this night that you can come to the place to where every day you are walking in this buffer zone of peace. But it will take time. It will take worship. But it can happen. This is why many of the saints of old, those that you've even read about in my word, people like Paul, people like Peter, they walked in that peace. Though they faced great distressing times, they still walked in that peace. And it's the same for you. This is what I meant when I said that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You literally will surround yourself with a thick peace that distress cannot penetrate. So worship me. Worship me and create this buffer zone of peace in your life. And walk daily in that peace. And when you do, you will experience my presence in a way that is only known in my peace, says the Lord. For it is in worship that many receive the answers to their prayers. It is in worship that many receive the direction. It is in worship that many come to understand more clearly what it is that I desire. For worship plays a role in your life that nothing else can play. Worship creates its own unique atmosphere wherein I can dwell with you. Worship creates a place for me to visit, to spend time with you. Worship does it in a way that other things cannot. And yet for many people, many of my children, worship is the hardest thing that they do. Because you see, in order to truly worship me, it requires you to subdue pride in a way that nothing else requires. For you see, when you begin to worship me, you open yourself to criticism from other people, from those who don't understand, from those who don't appreciate, from those who have never worshiped. You open yourself to the criticism that people would level at you, thinking that you're being foolish. For you see, a person who truly worships me, will eventually subdue pride in their life in a very special way. For there are some of you, even this day, that had you entered into this worship from your heart, you would have received a healing in your body. And there are some of you, if you had truly worshiped me and entered into this worship with the others in this place, you would have received from me a very clear direction concerning a thing that I am working in your life. But you didn't, because you were self-conscious, because you were aware of the presence of others, because you let your pride and your traditions hold you back. And I say this to you to let you know that worship is absolutely a key in you fulfilling everything I've called you to do, no matter who you are. For you see, the Father said that He seeks those who'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, if those are the ones whom the Father is seeking, then should it not make sense to you that you should worship Him? That you should enter in with your whole heart? And I say to you that worship is going to be a key to the revival of these last days. It is extremely important that you understand this. There are those who have even left this church because they could not stand the spiritual pressure of my glory that was released during the worship. They disagreed with the worship because they didn't understand it and they didn't seek to understand it. For you see, worship will create a very uncomfortable atmosphere for those who follow man's traditions and those who have problems with pride. Worship will create a high level of discomfort, and some will even choose to leave during the praise and worship because they are so uncomfortable and they have to get away from what they are feeling. And what they are actually feeling is the conflict that arises between the pureness of my presence and the self that they have exalted. So know this day, the principles of worship are never going to change, and what worship will do for you is never going to change. It will remain a constant. And for all of those who will enter into it, all of those who will worship, my promises, those revealed to you in my word about what I will do and how I will move in worship, those promises will come to pass. For I will honor my word. And I have established worship is a mighty thing for you. So if you will do it, you will experience more of me. I am here waiting. So worship me. Do not dismiss these times in services when you have the opportunity to worship. Worship me in your homes. Worship me alone. Worship me and experience me. And I will lead you into greater depths of my presence, says the Lord. For I am pleased this night that you have invited me into your presence. For you see, as my word says, my eyes are searching throughout this world looking for a place where I can demonstrate my love and my grace and my strength, where I can demonstrate myself as being your mighty tower, your strong tower, your high tower, your source of grace. Likewise, my eyes search throughout this world looking for a church that will welcome me with their worship. I seek for churches that will worship me so that I can begin to minister to them through their worship. But I find very few churches that will let me do this. There are many churches that sing songs about me and to me, but I rarely find churches that call my name and speak my name, yet welcome me into their presence with their worship. You do not know how much it pleases me when you worship me. You cannot imagine the impression that it makes on me when you choose to worship me. There are many churches which shut these kinds of things down. There are many churches that don't want to move into this kind of worship. There are many churches that actually teach against this. I even have ministers who go forth and proclaim my name, and yet they actually teach that this kind of worship should not take place. I love them, but I am saddened. And yet, there are those times when I find a place like this, where you welcome me, where from your hearts you pour out hunger through worship, hunger to be with me. And I want you to know that I am here in your midst this night. I am here to touch you with my grace and with my mercy, with my compassion. I am here to meet your needs. I am here to demonstrate my love to you. I am here to share in this service with you. You have loved on me, and I will love on you. And I want you to know this night that as often as you choose to worship me, you will experience my presence. Oh, how I love you. And oh, how I long to demonstrate myself to you in even greater measure. So never become weary in worshiping me. Never let it become form. Never let it become ritual. Never let it become a religious exercise. But always let it be that which pours forth from your heart, the very depths of your spirit. I honor that kind of worship. And I do show up and minister in those places. So never forget that I love you. And I dwell in the presence of worship, says the Lord.
I have taken you to a place which requires more than you have ever given. You don't know how you can give more, but that's because you're trying to figure it out with your own wisdom. Give me time, and I will give you my wisdom. You will know how to give more. I want to show you things about the days to come that will impact you, your church, and my body. There is a new, higher level of teaching that needs to be released in my church. It is an apostolic level teaching. It will not be new revelation, but buried revelation uncovered. Much of my word remains a mystery to my church. There are things even about creation that are not being taught. I do not see my word as segmented, but as a whole. I am tying the pieces together in these last days so that the anointing of the whole can be released. Too many of my preachers have high levels of pride which is keeping them from this higher level of teaching. They would use the revelation that I give them to build their ministries instead of my kingdom. As it is, there are very, very few teachers I can use at this higher level. The pride must be purged. I call this an apostolic level of teaching because it will be reminiscent of when the apostles were first laying the foundation of the church. I am even now preparing these teachers for this incredible outpouring. It is coming, and it is even at the door, says the Lord.
For I have spoken to you in the past, and I have shared with you how that in these last days, just as my word says, knowledge will increase. And I've shared with you that this knowledge is not simply human knowledge or technological knowledge, but this is also spiritual knowledge. And it is increasing. But it is only increasing within the people and within the churches who have ears to hear. Where you see only those who have truly turned their ears to me and tuned in to what I am saying are going to receive this knowledge. I am working in every church which names the name of my son. At whatever level they are operating, that is where I meet them. That is where I move. And I am working in every church that will allow me. And the more that they have received from me, and the more knowledge in which they have grown and in which they are operating, I am able to move at that level. In some churches, I am able to move in tremendous levels. And in some churches, I am not able to move beyond the level of the born-again experience. But I would say unto you, I am even at this moment pouring out from my throne greater and greater knowledge of the things of my kingdom, the things of my spirit. It is being released at this time, and those who truly have ears to hear are receiving. And those who are received are in turn passing this knowledge on to others, fulfilling the ministry of teacher and fulfilling the ministry of pastor along with the other gifts that I have given. But you must grow spiritually. You must become increasingly spiritually sensitive. For just as I am releasing an increase of knowledge from my throne, and there is greater revelation, not new scripture, but greater revelation and understanding of the scripture which has been given, that is increasing. Satan is also working hard to deceive many by perverting and twisting the increase of knowledge, the increase of truth. This is why it is extremely important for you to be very spiritually sensitive. For over the years, many in my body have been led astray by wrong doctrine that has kept them from going much further beyond the born-again experience. They've been led astray by doctrine which has told them to rely more on man than on me. And the less they rely on me, the more they rely on man, even for the full interpretation and explanation of my word. And this has gone on for a long, long time. But as I've said in my word, there are people who have itching ears, and they want to heap to themselves teachers who will only say what they're willing to receive. But to those who are truly hungry to grow spiritually, to those who are truly hungry to increase in their knowledge of me, making it possible for me to work more greatly and more thoroughly in them, your ears must be tuned to the voice of my spirit. For I am releasing knowledge. I am releasing teaching. I am releasing this increase even now. It is growing and will continue to grow. It is what has been called in this place a revival of doctrine. For you see, I prophesied that to you many, many months ago. It is happening, and it is happening now. As my word says, lay aside the sin which so easily besets, I say to you, lay aside the doctrines which so easily hold back. Make a determination that you are going to be hungry for the fullness of truth. Make a determination to step beyond whatever level you're walking in at this time to go deeper into me. For you see, along with this truth comes the power to operate in that truth, and the truth to operate by the power. This is all increasing. I will not be put aside. I will not sit back and let the enemy pull many people away. I'm the one who has initiated this He is the one which is counterfeiting. And when you see the counterfeit, you need to know that the genuine has already been released. Otherwise, there would be nothing to counterfeit. So when you see the counterfeit, you'll know that the truth has gone before it, and that your enemy is reacting to what has been released. So again, I say to you, become deeply hungry for truth. Become deeply hungry to flow with my Spirit and experience the fullness of what is to come in these days. For the outpouring is increasing, and there is glory that is increasing with it, says the Spirit of the Lord.
For I've spoken to you in recent days, and I shared with you how that there was an alarm that was sent forth through the camp of the enemy. Think to those things that I have said to you. For I told you ahead of time how that the enemy had lost much ground. How that in the realm of the Spirit he had lost much territory, especially in the Middle East. I would have you remember those things that I said to you. For it was not long after that, that the warning I gave, how that the enemy had called in his generals, his spiritual generals, to formulate a plan for a counterattack that would be unleashed in this world. It was within days after that warning was given to you that the nation of Israel was attacked by those missiles, and you now see what is happening. And within the last few hours, a massive attack was thwarted. And I will tell you how that attack was thwarted. The world is telling you that it was the works of the intelligence agencies that brought this thing to light. But I want you to know that it was the prayers and the intercessions of my people that brought this thing to light so the intelligence agencies could see it. And because of that, a massive attack was thwarted. Now listen closely to what I would have to say to you. Look south. Look south of your borders. Look to the south. For an attack is being planned even this night. There is great upheaval in the realm of the Spirit that is going to manifest south of your border. Things are being planned in more than one nation to bring about confusion, to bring about strife. In the days to come, look for increased military activity south of your border. It is coming, and it is going to happen. Now listen closely to what I'm saying. All of these things are for the purpose of distracting my people from my true purpose. For you see, my son told you 2,000 years ago that these things were going to happen. So it should be of no surprise to you when they begin to manifest. But you're seeing my son's prophecies come to life before your very eyes. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. For you see, in the realm of the Spirit, great progress is being made. I will tell you what the enemy is seeing. He is seeing releases of glory, increasing levels of glory being released from my throne into this world. And he recognizes that something is happening that he has never encountered in the history of humanity. I have said before that there is a remnant seeking me, and it is in that remnant that I am going to pour out greater levels of my glory. Let me share it with you a different way. There is a remnant. That remnant exists. And there are more of my children who are turning to become a part of this remnant. It is in that remnant that I am pouring out more of my glory, but you need to understand it's not just for the sake of evangelism, but it is also for the sake of doing spiritual warfare against the camp of the enemy. The spiritual warfare that takes place spills over into the natural. What you are seeing in the natural is a byproduct of the warfare that's already taken place in the realm of the Spirit. Know this night that if you will truly lay down the shackles of those things that you allow to interfere in your day-to-day lives and turn to seek me and stay in my presence and seek my face, I will deposit into you an anointing that the enemy cannot stop. I will pour into you an anointing that will bring about healing to those who need healing, deliverance to those who need deliverance. It will be anointed words that will come forth from your mouth, and people will respond, and they will come to know my Son Jesus Christ. I am speaking to you this night and telling you, make a decision. Fight a good fight of faith. Determine that you will not let yourself be distracted by the things of this world. Stay in my presence, for I am there waiting for you even this night to release to you an anointing of glory, an anointing of power that is going to carry you through to the end. And you will see great and mighty things take place. So know this night, the enemy, he has not stopped. For if you read my word, you will recognize that as my glory increases, the works of the enemy will also be increasing. But as my son said, do not let your hearts be troubled. I will release an anointing that will counteract all fear. You will walk in boldness. You will walk in strength. You will walk in anointing. And when the people begin to ask, what is it that's going on in this world? You will have the answers. You will say, all of this has been prophesied in the Bible. There are those who are the naysayers, but they will become worried about what is happening. You will have the answers. I will pour answers through you, and you will be able to minister to people. So listen closely to what I say. I will be sharing more with you in the days to come because I love you and I want you to know the things that are happening. I will forewarn you of that which is to come because that is what I said I would do by my Holy Spirit, show you things to come. So know this night, the enemy is furious. He is angry and he hates you. But I love you with a love that is greater than his hate. And out of my love, you will know my presence and my grace, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
For there is a place in me, a place of strength and a place of joy that is not attained to through the rearranging of circumstances. For you should have figured out by now that you are going to go from one good event to one bad event to one good event to one bad event over and over in your life. You should know that by now. And there is a place in me of strength and of joy that is not dependent upon your circumstances. In my presence, there is fullness of joy. Therefore, when you are with me and in my presence, I am able to release my strength and my joy into you. And that strength and that joy, it will impact your emotions. It will govern your responses to situations. And you will see things as I see them. And you will understand that I am at work in your life to bring about my will. So once again, I tell you, come to me and stay in my presence. Seek me diligently. You will find me. You will know my strength. You will know my joy. You will know my presence. You will know my direction. I have spoken these things so many times to those who have trusted my son, those who have my life. But there are so few who take these words to heart. So I speak this as an encouragement to you. Don't look to other people as the measure of what I can do in a person. Look to my word as the measure of what I can do in a person. For my word is the only thing that you can truly trust in this world. So come to me and you will experience what I have promised in my word, says the Spirit of grace. For many in my church have cried out for more glory, for a release of glory, for more of my presence, more of my anointing, more of my power. But have I not said in my word that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory? You see, that life that is in you is the life through which I pour out my glory. Many people come to church services looking for me to release my glory in a magnificent sort of way. And indeed, I can do that. And I have, and I will again. But I want you to know that you can walk daily in the presence of my glory, because it is my life in you that I anoint with my glory. When you leave this place, you do not leave my life behind. You take it with you, because my life is in you. If you will seek me, if you will lay aside these things in your life that you have allowed to hold you back and hold you away from my presence, if you will seek me and get into my presence, I want you to know this day that I will release into you ever increasing measures of my glory, to the point that you will be consciously aware of my glory wherever you go. You will operate according to my glory and according to my anointing. You have looked to people in the past, people like Smith Wigglesworth, people like Kenneth Hagin, people like John G. Lake, many others, and you have thought, oh, if only I could attain to a place of that anointing, to where God would use me. But I want you to know that I have already said in my word that I will use you. For did I not say that those who believe in my Son, they will do his works, they will cast out devils, they will lay hands on the sick and see recovery, they will operate by my anointing and power. For I will do unto you the same that I did to my Son. I anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing my works. I say the same is for you this day. Get into my presence. Get into my presence and seek me, and I will release the glory unto you, says the Lord. For my grace is power for restoration. Those things that you think are irreparable, those things that you think cannot be restored, I want you to know that my grace is a power that flows through from my throne to you to restore those things that you thought were permanently damaged. You see, human love can be destroyed, but the love that comes from my heart can never perish. And my grace can restore all things. Those things that you thought were gone forever, my grace can restore. And I've said in my word that you access my grace through faith. So take a stand by faith and just call unto me and say, Father, by faith I access the grace to receive from you those things that I don't even feel at this time. But if you will do that, and if you will do it with sincerity of heart, regardless of what you are feeling, that act of faith will release me to move in your life. You will tap into my grace, and restoration will be complete. My heart has been touched by your sadness, and my heart has been touched by your sorrow. And I knew that these days were coming before they ever arrived. I am God. And I know what you've gone through. Before the foundation of the world, I knew what you were going to face. And I knew what you were going to go through. You've cried unto me. And I want you to know that I am there. Know this. You have an enemy who hates you. Hates you with an intense passion. But I love you with a heart of glory, a heart of purity, a heart of holiness, a heart that can only come from the one true God. I would say unto you you're coming to a place of breakthrough. You're coming to a place spiritually of victory and triumph. You have fought, and you have fought diligently. You have fought so hard. And in the realm of the Spirit, what you have done, you have slowly but surely driven back the forces of darkness. I would say unto you, the battle is not over. You need to continue to fight. Because Satan, your enemy, does not like to lose ground. But if you will continue in this, continue fighting this good fight of faith, inch by inch, you are going to take back everything that Satan has stolen. You are going to see a recovery. You are going to see a manifestation of my glory. I am moving. I have heard your prayers. And I want you to know I am moving. So don't stop now. Because the more you pray and the more you intercede, it's as though you are opening a door for me to move through, to stretch my hand through and begin to work. For I have said I will fight battles for you. And I will take up that standard. So as you bow your knee in prayer and as you yield yourself to me, I move through you into your life to bring about these changes. And I want you to know I am God and I never lose. So allow me to work through you and you will see my victory manifest in your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. For my coming is at hand. It is closer than you think. I am coming back. And when I return, I will be returning with more compassion and grace and mercy and love than you can possibly imagine for those who love me. But I will also be coming with judgment and with a vengeance for those who are the enemies of the cross. Before I come, there is a judging that is going to take place within my church. As I've said in my word, all that can be shaken is going to be shaken. There are many who are pressing deeper into me. They're drawing closer to my throne, to my presence. And it is through them that I am going to be releasing waves of glory that will sweep throughout this world. The judgment is going to take place in ways that are not what many have told you. For you see, many have told you that there is great judgment coming upon this world in the way and in the form of great destruction, that I'm going to be sweeping through my church and destroying many that are in it for their lives and lifestyle. But I want you to know that many are conjuring up these words out of their emotions. Let me tell you how this is going to happen. I'm going to be releasing this glory through those who press deeper into me. You have heard it prophesied that there is coming a revival of doctrine. And I tell you that it's happening even now. My truth is going to be released in greater and greater measure. My truth has already been given in my word. But it's going to be a reestablishing of the truth that I have given. I'm going to be confronting many of those who are teaching incorrectly. One of the ways that I'm going to do this is by convicting them in their hearts of what they're doing. You see, a lot of this judgment is going to happen, and you're not going to see it happen because it's going to happen in the realm of the Spirit. And this is where many people have missed it. They're looking for my judgment to first manifest in the realm of the natural, and that is not how I work. Everything that I do starts in the realm of the spirit, and later it will manifest in the natural. The judgment that is coming is going to be judgment in the spirit before it is ever judgment in the natural. And the way that I am going to judge in the spirit is through the power of the glory and the truth that is being released. It is going to bring conviction to those who are teaching wrong things. And it is going to be my attempt to draw them back. They're going to hear things on the radio, over the internet, in writing. They're going to hear things on tapes and so on and so forth. Truth that is going to greatly contradict those things that they have taught and believed. And it is going to be a judgment. It is me speaking to them, change what you're doing and get right with my word. Now to you, I would say this. You do not have time to continue to play your games with me. I know that you love me, but you're not serious in serving me. Now listen closely to what I'm saying. It's time for you to fine-tune yourself spiritually. You see, I need to use you, but I need you to grow in me before I can fully use you. There are many of you that are taking too lightly your attendance in church, your punctuality. You just see this as a type of religious exercise. Though those are not your thoughts, that's what I see. Now listen closely to this. The day is coming when people who do this way are going to regret every moment that they wasted when they could have been in the presence of strong believers, those who are like-minded with me, those who are pressing deeper into my presence. I'm warning you this day. Some of you are going to lose your children to the world if you don't get your act together. It doesn't have to be this way. But when you set the standard according to your own desires and not according to what I've said in my word, there is very little I can do. And so I'm telling you, it's time that you begin to fine-tune your spiritual walk with me. Shake off the dust. And get serious in all that you're doing. A lot of things that are going to happen to people are going to be taking place because of their own lack of interest in the things of me. Now I say unto you, I love you beyond anything you can imagine. Love you beyond measure. This is why I say these things. Because I so want you to know what you're missing. I want you to know the fullness of my presence. I want you to know the fullness of what I can do in you. If you could capture a glimpse of what I could do for you, in you, and through you, you would change your approach to your walk with me. And so I say this again. The judgment, it is taking place. And it's taking place first in the realm of the Spirit. I am convicting greatly those who have veered from the path of the fullness of my truth. I am working very hard to correct these things. And in everyone who will allow me, the correction will take place. If you will let me use you, you will become a voice of my truth to this world. So come into my presence like never before. Rearrange what needs to be arranged. Restructure what needs to be restructured. Get your life in order. Fine-tune yourself spiritually. And I'm telling you this day, I will use you in ways you have never imagined, says the Lord. For you know how a battery operates. A battery has two terminals. And contained within it is the power, the energy that is necessary to cause things to happen. Flashlights to turn on, your recorders to record, your players to play, toys to operate, and so forth. And once contact is made with that battery can release what is in it to bring about the desired results. You're like a battery. My life in you is power. And I anoint my life in you. The more that you stay in my presence is the more that you will be energized to accomplish that which I desire. And you will become like that battery. You will literally be walking around with that anointing and that power and that glory resident on the inside of you. Your hands will be like the contacts on that battery, to where when you make contact with someone, my glory will be released, my power will be released to accomplish the desired purposes, and you're going to see healings take place. Yes, you will even see miracles happen before your very eyes, for it is my desire to work through my children to accomplish my works here in this world. So come to me, spend time in my presence. Choose to be there with me and allow me to deposit into you everything that is necessary for you to become what I desire and accomplish what I have said I will accomplish in this world, says the Lord. Spiritual breakthrough is one of the hardest things you're ever going to encounter in your life. Spiritual breakthrough is harder than believing God for a miracle for your body. Because a spiritual breakthrough involves that which is intangible, the things that you cannot see. This is why so many Christians struggle. It's why so many Christians can't seem to figure out what's going on in life. It's because they don't recognize that they have reached the absolute limit of their capacity in God, based upon what they've done to this point. And you will never go beyond that place until you fight the good fight of faith for your own spiritual progress. When Paul was talking about fighting that good fight of faith, he wasn't talking about believing God for money or healing or the breaking of addictions or anything like that. What he was talking about is fighting the good fight of faith, the faith that is necessary to press beyond where you are in God into the place where He wants you to be. And many Christians have been so caught up in the religious concept that going deeper in God is totally dependent upon God. Well, may I say it this way, which should catch some religious flack. God has nothing to do with it. You say, well, how in the world do you figure that? Because He has freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now it's up to us to put to use that which He has given so that we can go beyond where we are into the place that He desires. And the spiritual growth and progress that Christians want, so many have been deceived into believing that it's a sovereign move of God. And I'm just waiting for my breakthrough. And God is saying, and? Did I not say, seek me and you will find me? Did I not say that all these things are available to you? Did I not say that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you? Yes, God, but I'm waiting. When are you going to move? And He's saying, what part of my word have you failed to comprehend? Of course, He already knows the answer to that question. When He says in His word that everything's been made available to us and we don't partake of it, then who do you think we have to blame? People want to know where's the power? Where are the miracles? Where is the anointing? And when it's not there, regardless of what they read in Scripture, eventually they compensate and they'll create doctrines which say things like, that's not for today. Now that we have the Bible, we don't need things like that anymore. Funny thing is, the heathen have no idea what it means to believe the Bible, but they can sure respond to demonstrations of the power revealed by the Bible. And we expect the lost to respond to simply somebody standing up and telling them something. With no anointing, with no presence of God, what else? What can we expect but them to continue to reject the Word of God? What's interesting is that the Bible talks about evil increasing in the last days. Do you not understand what that means? What it means, how can I say this? The Bible talks about the Antichrist. You need to understand that along with the Antichrist, there is, if I can use this phrase, the anti-anointing. What that simply means is, it is the power of evil being magnified in a person's life, drawing them further and further away from the presence of God. That's why evangelism can be so hard. But as Christians, as we sit back and we watch the world go deeper and deeper into this anti-anointing, and it should be obvious to you it's happening. And what's amazing is that even the secular ungodly press is confirming this. Just watch the news. Just read what's in the paper. It's confirmed all the time, constantly. And we as Christians are sitting back and waiting for God to move. I'm waiting for God to take me into that place with Him where He wants me to be. And God is saying, I'm waiting for you to come into the place where I am. He said that we can come boldly unto His throne of grace to find grace and mercy and help and assistance, everything that we need when we need it. He did not say He would climb down from His throne and come down to our level. The only time He's ever done anything like that is so He could die in our place. Now He's made it possible for us to ascend to a greater level of spiritual growth in Him. That's why spiritual growth and progress is the hardest thing any Christian is ever going to encounter. It's because it's not dependent upon what God will do, it's dependent upon what He has done and what we do with what He has done. Pastor, I want a prayer line. Lay hands on me and pray so that I'll have a greater anointing and go deeper into God. Sure, come on up, I'll pray. But my prayer doesn't take you where God wants you. The only thing that takes you where God wants you is you. And here's the thing about it, Satan can't stop you. Oh, he can try and tackle you along the way. But he can't stop you. It is impossible for Satan to stop a spiritual work of God in a believer. That's because a spiritual work of God in a believer is totally dependent upon the believer interacting with God, not with Satan. And he can't stop you. Everything that you're seeking, everything that you want, this walk with God that you're hungering for, this thing that you're seeking from God, this place where you want to be, it is available to you right now, no matter where you are. It's available to you right now. You don't cry out to God for it. You get into His presence, stay there with Him, and receive it manifested in your life. This is the hard part. Defeating yourself so that you can be in God's presence. So, everything you've been praying for, everything you've been asking God for, everything you've been wanting, all the confusion, the questions, everything. It's all contained in Him. All of it. Any preacher that you talk to, any minister that you counsel with, if they're not pointing you to that place of intimacy with the Lord, they are failing you. And they're not giving you the answer that you need. Conforming to the image of Christ is a total, complete spiritual work that's done on the inside. If it were not possible for every single one of us to get to that place, it would never happen. So for every one of us, especially you who have been asking these things, this is your answer. It doesn't come through church attendance, but your church attendance benefits others as you admonish them through the very essence of Christ in you to go deeper in your walk, their walk with Him. So the thing you came to hear today, you just heard it. Now it's up to you.